15, Houston.
Houston, 15.
We've just got through with the playback, and we've got excellent burn data down here. And if you'll give us accept, we'll send up a refs mat.
Okay, you've got two and accept.
Thank you.
And Houston, we're over Mare Crisium at the present time, and the sights are really striking. I guess some of the interesting things we've noted is the variation in albedo from white to dark gray, with many variations of gray in between. And many times this albedo change appears without any significant change in topography, other than perhaps a mountain ridge or a chain or a wrinkle ridge or something. But there are many variations in the albedo all over the surface. I guess our general consensus is it's gray. We haven't noticed any brown yet.
Excellent. If I'm not mistaken, this is probably the first time men have been over Crisium.
Yeah, I guess that's probably right. We have everything from the very old subdued craters that are almost completely washed out to the very bright fresh ones, which have interior walls of almost pure white.
We're lapping it up down here. Keep talking if you feel like it.
Another interesting fact that we've all noticed is that it looks like a great desert across which we've had a number of dust storms. And in many places you can see the tracks or the swirls across the surface, which looks like a great dust storm has been blowing across the surface, primarily indicated by the albedo change. But all over Crisium you can see these streaks, which obviously are from impacts at some point or another, but the impression we get is a result of a dust storm.
Very interesting. Fifteen, the computer is yours.
Say again?
The computer is yours.
Okay.
Carl, this is Al. I'll have to say pretty much what Dave's been saying. You might be interested to know that we're coming up over Pierce right now and just about to hit the west rim of Mare Crisium, and kind of looking forward to taking a look at Proclus as we get up a little bit closer here. There are a couple of craters just to the north, northeast corner, and we'll pinpoint those a little better for you later. A very, very small crater that looks like it's had some dark material slide down into the crater. The eastern wall of the inside of the crater has some very dark material in it, and at the sun angle it doesn't appear that it's shadow.
Okay, we copy.
That was Al Worden.
And you know, as we look at all this, after the many months we've been studying the moon and learning all the technical features and names and everything, why, when you get it all at once, it's just absolutely overwhelming. There are so many different things down there, and such a great variety of landforms and stratigraphy and albedo, that it's hard for the mental computer to sort it all out and give it back to you. I hope over the next few days we can sort of get our minds organized and get a little more precise on what we're seeing, but I'll tell you, this is absolutely mind-boggling up here.
Gentlemen, I can well imagine that a foreign planet must be a weird thing to see.
That was Dave Scott.
And we've got Proclus in view right now.
Excellent. Tell us about it if you have a chance.
Well, the rays extending from Proclus are very light in color for about 240 to 260 degrees around, and then there's a region of dark mare or albedo. And our orientation presently with the spacecraft is such that we're having a tough time figuring out north and south. And once we get on an orbit track, we'll be able to give you direction a little bit better. But the inner walls of Proclus are a very light color, almost white. The outer walls, the outer ring, has a somewhat light gray appearance, and the difference in the rays is really between a light and a dark gray, as distinguished from the inner walls, which are quite white. The walls exhibit some debris on the upper slopes, maybe the upper 30%. I can see on one side of the crater some large blocks. On another side, I can see what appears to be a large slump block, or a large slumping of the wall that goes about halfway down, and it takes about the whole 15 degrees of the rim of the crater with it. The floor is very irregular and rough, almost a constant gray, medium gray color, somewhat darker than the light gray on the outside rays, and somewhat lighter than the dark gray on the surface, which does not seem to be covered with a ray pattern. There are a few ridges on the floor, arcuous ridges, and some domes, which are quite prominent. And I'm sure when Al comes back over here later on and has a chance to study it carefully, he can give you a good, accurate picture.
Beautiful.
This is Apollo Control. Science commentary on the S4B impact will be available in the News Center briefing room. The commentator will be Dave Strangway from the MSC Science Directorate.
We'd like to have track to Otto on the high gain, and for your information, the Saturn 4B impact is going to take place in just a few minutes. It's going to be
Good. I wish we were in a...
Right. It's 2 minutes and 40 seconds, but it's going to be out of your visual range, somewhere around the center area of the moon.
Roger. Yeah, it's too bad we won't get to see it. We'd already taken a look at the map to see if we'd have a chance, but I guess we'll miss that one.
This Apollo Control. The seismometer recorders on the monitors in the news center are giving you a display of the Apollo 14 seismometer. The seismometer on the Apollo 14 all set package.
Hey, Houston 15, we're coming up to Serenitatis, and it really looks like an ocean. The landforms as we approach are very rugged, very highly cratered, rounded, and we get to the shoreline, and we see a few wrinkle ridges, and it smooths out. And we can see on the far side, on the horizon, the mountains, which pick up again on the western side of Serenitatis.
Roger, 15.
Okay, Carl, we're coming up over Serenitatis now. We're almost over Le Monnier at the present time, and we can see the littoral area just out in front of us, and it is, in fact, about three different shades. You can see in the upland area, and particularly what looks like down in the valleys, darker color, and it does look like it's a light powdering or dusting over the entire area. And then as you get out further into Mare Serenitatis, there's another layering which is a little bit lighter in color, and that out at the last edge of the Wrinkle Ridge, out beyond that is the last layer, and the rest of Serenitatis looks fairly light in color. So I'd say that the central part of Serenitatis is light. Out beyond the first Wrinkle Ridge is a darker layering, and we're not up close enough to see what it is yet. And then as you get up into the highlands around Le Monnier and littoral area itself, there's what appears to be a light dusting of dark material, and it certainly looks volcanic from here. Off to the left of that, to the south, we can pick up Sulpicius Gallus pretty clearly right now.
Roger, Al, sounds like you're seeing a marvelous amount of detail up there.
Well, after the King's training, it's almost like I've been here before.
You can't help yourself, can you?
And, Carl, we're approaching the Apennine Mountains, and that is indeed a spectacular view.
Roger.
Sure is, Carl. No question about those mountains being there and where we're at with them.
They stand up on your horizon, do they?
Yeah, tremendous relief as we approach the mountains, Carl.
Roger. And for your information, gentlemen, we're getting a good seismic signal from the impact of the Saturn IV-B. This is Houston. There is no update required on your TEI 4 pad.
Okay, Houston, understand. Houston, if we cross out of Serenitatis into the Apennines, why, it's just unreal. You know, those are very poor descriptive terms, but the mountains jut up out of the ocean here in great relief. I'm sure the guys who've been here before can probably sit down over a cup of coffee and tell you. But the relief is really pervasive.
You're the first man to fly over this mountain range, Dave. I guess pretty soon you're going to be over the landing site, aren't you?
All right, but I'm afraid it'll be dark today.
That's right.
Carl, this is Al again. Looking down into Sulpicius Gallus area, looking at some of the wrinkle ridges and some of the rills, the arcuate rills down there, I can make out some distinct color patterns that seem to run parallel to the arcuate rills. Along the wrinkle ridges, and there is a very subtle darker color, again, almost as if it was some kind of cinder fallout along the ridges and along some of the rills.
Roger, Al.
And you said we're coming up here on the Terminator, and the area I guess we call Crackled Hills really looks like Crackled Hills. If you distinguish between the mountains, which are very prominent and smooth, the surface between the first small mountain range and the what is now the Terminator is relatively flat with a very rough texture, very irregular, lower Crackled Hills.
We copy, Dave.
Jim calls it a gunmetal gray, and that's a very good term, I think, for the color that we're seeing now. And as we approach the Terminator, of course, the relief stands out even more. The shadows are getting much longer, and the peaks of the mountains, as they're silhouetted against the Crackled Hills, seem to have a diffuse shadow at the top. The shadow as it goes from the base of the mountain to its peak is very sharp, and around the top of the mountain, it becomes more diffuse and not quite as sharp, and begins to blend in with the surface on which it's being cast.
Roger, Dave. Sounds very interesting.
Houston, we're trying to get oriented here so we can perhaps pick out some of the features near the landing site. There's quite a bit of shadow now, but we have Aristillus and Autolycus very clearly. And with a low sun angle, the surface between those two large craters and the rim of Imbrium, the eastern rim of Imbrium, is very rough. Quite a bit of debris, and it looks like it probably came out of the two craters. I believe we can see Hadley C just barely in the shadows.
wiped out on our rail.
Roger 15, we copy that. Did I understand that the rim of Autolycus is standing up in the sunlight?
Yes, that's true. Aristellus and Autolycus both have their eastern rims exposed to the sunlight, and we can get a pretty good look at the elevation on the rim. And Autolycus, to its northeastern side, seems to have a saddle or somewhat depressed rim. And as you come around to the west or the eastern side of Aristellus, it seems to be relatively level or horizontal, with a few subtle saddles and depressions. Autolycus appears to have a relatively horizontal or even rim all the way around, and we can see some light on the northwestern side of Autolycus on the rim, just barely a tick of it.
Roger, it sounds like a fantastic view.
It really is.
Do you guys have enough to keep you busy for a few days then?
Hey, Dick, we got enough to keep us busy for months and months and months, as you well know. The outer rims of Aristellus and Autolycus seem to be quite heavily cratered and rough. And Aristellus, on its east-northeastern side, seems to have a couple of benches on the outer rim as it goes down to the surface. And the shadows are exposed quite well.
Roger, Dave.
Houston, just north of Conan, there's a great depression in the mountains, a low part of the mountains. And the western side of the mountains is exposed to the sunlight. And this reflects back into the shadow part of the mountains, which the basin just north of Conan there is really shadowed by the eastern mountain range. But the reflectivity back from the mountains exposed to the sunlight illuminates the shadowed area to where we can pick out craters and ridges and various other topographic features. It's really quite interesting. As a matter of fact, just to the inner walls or the inner basin of Conan itself is illuminated by its own reflectivity on its western wall.
Roger, that sounds like a fascinating illumination. Do you have any inclination that you're going to be able to see the dark side of the moon with Earth eye on it?
Well, we can just barely see subtle features now, I think. We can see the horizon quite clearly.
Roger, when you get dark adapted, it may be that things will come through pretty well.
Roger.
This Apollo Control. The Flight Dynamics Officer Bill Boone reports that after tracking from acquisition of signal, the orbital parameters are 169 by 59 nautical miles.